Well, good evening, everybody. It is our final show of the 2018-19 season. Laker Hockey Show live from the Antlers. Everybody's fighting this cold right now. We're a minus our head coach tonight because of it. He's got a fever and everything going. I've got no voice, so bear with me tonight. This is our last show of the season. I'm not sure that we will even have a Laker hockey talk on Thursday morning. I kind of doubt it at this point. But Mike York's with us, the assistant coach of the Lakers, and he'll do a great job, I'm sure, tonight of keeping us informed.
Putting the pressure on.
Putting the pressure on him right out of the gate here. But we want to make an announcement right away here. I think a lot of people already know this, but Diego Cuglietta did sign today with the Texas Stars of the American Hockey League. So he's gone to play pro hockey. And that's really nice. That's one of the goals that the college hockey players always have is to play on at the professional level. And I'll tell you what, to get a chance to go play in the American Hockey League, even if it's a tryout at this point, that's good, Mike. You can speak with experience. You've done this.
Yeah, it's great. It's great for Diego. It's, you know, I think the other, you know, guys that were seniors are probably going to move on as well. And you know, they deserve it. They put a lot of effort in this year. They led this team. You know, Diego with the leading the country in goals is unbelievable. And, you know, for him to go sign an opportunity to make that jump and continue on with his career, I think it's amazing for him and for all the guys. And, like you said, you know, going to the AHL as an undrafted, you know, guy is not easy to do. So it's great for him and, you know, hopefully exceeds.
Well, he certainly had a great year for us. Led our team in scoring with 25 goals, and it's been a long time since we've had somebody come through with the performance that he did this year. In fact, Sean Tallaire is the last guy to score over 25 goals in a season, and he did that in 1996. He had 32 goals that year, and 25 led the nation this year with Diego doing that. Dominic Minardo is the last player to hit 100 points for the Lakers. He had 101 in 2000. In his career 2009 to 2013, and Diego did that as well. He hit the 100-point mark with that goal that he had on Friday night at the Minnesota State. And let's break down that series a little bit here before we get into other things. That was a very difficult series. We scored the first goal a minute and a half into the game Friday night and never scored another goal. We lose 2-1, 2-0. Two good hockey games. Unfortunately, we take a major penalty on Saturday night. They score two goals on the power play. That's the game there. But I thought we played really hard. We gave it everything we had. I don't think anybody needs to feel badly about effort in that series. And Nick Kossoff was outstanding in both games.
Yeah, you're pretty dead on all those. You know, I think it was a hard-fought series. You know, we maybe had a little bit of about a minute two letdown on Friday night that led to the two goals and couldn't score another one. That was kind of the difference. And obviously our power play didn't score, but we laid it all on the line on Friday and Saturday. You know, Saturday, they scored another, you know, two goals in under a minute and we weren't able to get one. But, you know, going in there, they're the number two team in the country for a reason. They're a really good team, so you got to give them credit. But we, you know, we didn't hand them anything. We fought all the way till the end. And, you know, that's all you can ask your guys. You definitely, you know, we didn't hang our head after the series. I think every guy could have, you know, looked themselves in the mirror and said they gave it everything they had. And you know, unfortunately, we didn't come away with a series win, but, you know, the effort was there.
Yeah, that team is very, very good. I think Minnesota State's going to go somewhere in the NCAA tournament this year. They're going to be a really highly ranked team for one thing. That'll help them. They are number two in one poll, number three in the other poll right now. And they got a heck of a team. There's not a lot of weakness there. They're very good covering up in their own zone. They really shut down our power play on the weekend. We went 0-for-9 on the power play, which is really tough because we could have got right into both those games with a power play goal or two.
Yeah, I think, you know, Friday especially, and we had two or three in the third period. I think the first one, you know, Hampus had a whack on and just slid by the post. And you know, those are moments in the game where the kind of momentum, you know, can swing either way. And I thought if we would have got one on, you know, one of those on Friday, it could have carried us into Saturday. But you know, like you said, they're a deep team. They have a lot of depth in their team. Their D are good. You know, obviously they got good goaltending back there, and you know, their forwards can scoot around pretty well. But you know, we were right with them. You know, as far as, you know, they're the number two team, and I thought we, you know, could have gone either way with a couple bounces.
Yeah, it was definitely a tough series, but we played well, and I think most people who watched it or listened to it know that it was a very difficult series in which to win, but that we played well, and certainly a great season. I mean, this is the best season this team's had in a long, long time since 1995-96 with the number of wins and all the other things that happened. We had 23 wins this season, won the GLI title, which was a real highlight. First time we've ever won that tournament. And you know what that tournament means to hockey players. You've played in it enough times yourself. We had two wins at Ferris State. First time we've swept them on their ice in a long, long time, in at least 10 years. We had two wins against Michigan Tech, three in total, but the first time we've swept them, and we swept them at home this year and took three games from them this season. We had a semifinal berth in the WCHA, two wins at home against Bemidji State there, which left our fans feeling really good about the team and the team about itself. We had the nation's leader in goal scoring in Diego Cuglietta. We had three players with more than 30 points. Nick Kossoff had a tremendous year. I thought his stats were stupendous for a senior player. And we had a really good rookie season out of a kid like Ashton Calder, who happens to be a local as well. And I thought our freshmen were really good all year for Lake Superior. It was just a great year, and I think we can look back at it and take a lot of pride in it.
I think so, for sure. As a staff, I don't think we've had time to sit down and do it yet with our players, you know, and all that they've accomplished. But, you know, once you break all that stuff down and, you know, lay that out for the players, it's a heck of an accomplishment that they did. A lot of great things, and like you said, you know, we had great leadership from our upperclassmen, but at the same time, I thought some of our younger guys chipped in too, and that's what made us a good team. And I think that's going to be a positive moving forward too. It's something to look forward to. We had some guys that you know, came in and contributed on, you know, different levels and different nights, and you know, that's always exciting and positive to look forward to for upcoming seasons.
Yeah, you look back last season, this team finished in ninth place, missed the playoffs, 28 points total. This year, fourth place, first round home ice playoffs, 50 points. That's a huge improvement, and I think that's probably going to weigh an awful lot when they decide coach of the year this year. I would think Damon Witten is going to be a real solid candidate. If it's not him, it's going to be probably Mike Hastings at Minnesota State for coach of the year.
Yeah, you know, Damon did a tremendous job. You know, it was can't speak for Zach, but I think, you know, it was fun going to work every day with the guys and the coaching staff. And you know, we it was a type of year where you didn't want it to end. You know, you just wanted to keep going and keep playing. And it was enjoyable going to the rink and getting on the ice with the guys. And you know, even the days that we had off, you know, it was just enjoyable to be around the guys off the ice. It was a special group.
Yeah, they were, and we talked about that a lot of times on this show and during our broadcasts throughout the year. I've been around a long time and been around a lot of different Laker teams, and I think this team probably had as good a culture in the dressing room and as good a camaraderie among the players as any team that the Lakers have had over the many, many years. There's always a little bit of difficulty or controversy somewhere, but this team was pretty much on the same wavelength. And we had a number of players on this team who were pretty capable players who didn't see a whole lot of action, especially in the second half. You look at a kid like Owen Guy or an Ian Johnson or Alex Ambrosio, they couldn't get back into the lineup, but they were out there in practice every day putting it on the line and making the other players on this team get better.
They were, you know, going into practice is not always easy when you're not in the lineup or projected to be in the lineup, but they, you know, they pushed the guys that were, and you know, give credit to the guys that were in the lineup. They didn't, you know, let up on the gas, and they couldn't, you know, we didn't give us the opportunity to take them out of the lineup. They took full advantage of their opportunities to play, and I think that's kind of what we said from day one. You know, you work hard and you're good in practice and good in the games. You know, you're not going to be able to take you out of the lineup, and I think those guys earned it. Obviously, the guys that didn't play were working hard to get back in, and it was a good competitive nature, you know, in practice.
Yeah, and I didn't mention a couple of the other guys too. I think a kid like Miro Muka, he's going to be a regular. He'll be a mainstay in this lineup, I think, next year. He's a very good player, scored a lot of goals in junior hockey. We're going to talk in the second half of the show tonight about some of the new players that we're going to be bringing in this year. The Lakers, just for your information, finished number 10 in the nation in goals for this season with 123. That's 3.24 per game. Goals against, they were number 18 in the nation. They allowed 2.45 per game, and they held to that against a very good Minnesota State team on the weekend, allowing them two goals in each of the two games. Power play, number 36 there. That's something that we're going to work on for certain. Come up with some new activities there for next season. 17% on the power play. That was number 36 nationally. And in penalty kill, 82.7% is pretty good. That was number 24 in the country. So we improved statistically all the way around this year. I think that's a tribute to the coaching staff, and it's definitely a tribute to the players on this hockey team.
Yeah, it was. Obviously, we'd like to get those numbers up a little bit and, you know, see where that puts us as far as, you know, wins and losses and whatnot. But I think, like I said, it was all about the guys buying in from day one. And, you know, if they're buying in and believing, then you're going to have a successful season.
Yeah, we're going to talk in the second half about the number of players we're going to be bringing in again. And we, you know, we're still awaiting an announcement on Coach of the Year in the WCHA that has not been decided as yet. And we want to look at the future of this team as well as this past season. But it's been a great year for this team. And I think the fans who are with us here at the Antlers certainly know that. They're some of our best fans. They don't miss hockey games. They follow what's going on when we're out of town. I looked at the schedule, and I think we want to talk about that a little bit too. I know it's not final yet, but Damon had some stuff he gave us a few weeks ago on what we're going to do next year. I remember talking about making a trip this year to Alaska that's going to come early in the new year in 2020, and it'll be going up there as some of the teams have been able to do in recent years, playing one of them, Fairbanks perhaps on one weekend, and then playing against Anchorage the weekend after that and staying right up there and trying to maybe jockey the schedule a little bit to move some of the games to maybe a Thursday, Friday or something at the long end of that. So you go up there in 1 week, you play both of them and get it done.
Yeah, I think it's it probably is like a 10-day trip or something like that along those lines. I think, you know, probably reaching out to some of the teams to see what they did and how they did it and what it was like. You know, it's probably, you know, it'll be a long trip, but, you know, it saves on flights, you know, flying there and back, you know, twice. It's a long flight to get out there. So I think it's probably almost an advantage to be able to stay out there and do that and get both those teams done. You know, it's a long trip, and especially this year it was a nightmare for us getting home. You know, it was, you know, like a 40-hour travel home, flights canceled, missed flights, ended up bringing guys back on three separate flights. You know, I think Damon, you know, ended up in Chicago and was driving a van back with about 6 to 8 guys. So it wasn't ideal. And, you know, going out there, you know, with once and playing them, those guys twice, and hopefully, you know, like you said, switching the games around would be nice.
Yeah, we do have some other things that we think are going to happen next year. I'm pretty sure that Denver is going to be on the schedule as a non-conference, and that should be in Sault Ste. Marie. They owe us a series. I always ask about Notre Dame because they still owe us a series too, but I haven't heard anything on that as to whether they're coming in next year. And I don't know what all the – do we have some pieces in place right now outside the league schedule with the non-conference?
I'm not 100%. You know, I'm not sure if Merrimack's coming in next year or the year after. I know I'm probably 95% sure that Denver will be in. I think we're going to head down to play Michigan. And then the Notre Dame series, I'm not sure either if they're coming or we're going there.
Yeah, they owe us one at home. I know that. The last time we played them, it was at their place, so we would like to think Jeff would – and he said he would. He'd like to come back up to Sault Ste. Marie. He's got a lot of friends and people up here that he would like to see. So we'll see what develops with that, and we'll talk a little bit more about the schedule, et cetera, here as we move along tonight. We're talking to Mike York tonight, the assistant coach of the Lakers. Damon Whitten, again, is ill. He has got a fever going. He's not feeling well at all. That trip took it out of him. We'll talk about that in a moment here, too. And we'll be back with more Laker Hockey Show tonight, live from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, everybody. We are back at the Antlers live on a beautiful day in Sault Ste. Marie. We haven't mentioned the weather yet, but it was spectacular today. Got up to 38 degrees. It's like summer in Sault Ste. Marie, but one way or the other, we melted some snow today, and it's going to get cold enough tonight that it won't flood. It'll freeze up, and then we'll start it all over again tomorrow. Weather's starting to turn in the Sioux, and this is our final Laker hockey show of this season. The Lakers losing out at Minnesota State on the weekend, 2-1 and 2-0 were the final scores, two straight games. And the league has announced all of its major awards now, and a lot of Laker fans won't be happy with a lot of these awards, but Troy Loggins from Northern Michigan was the Offensive Player of the Year. Philip Ballou from Northern Michigan, the Defensive Player of the Year. Ate Tolvanen from Northern Michigan, the Goaltender of the Year. Cooper Zeck, the freshman who just turned pro, signed with Boston and is playing in the East Coast Hockey League for Ferris State. He was named Rookie of the Year. And Max Cota from Minnesota State was Student Athlete of the Year, and Mike Hastings, the head coach at Minnesota State, Coach of the Year, and his team did have a record of 31-7-2. It's pretty formidable, and you really can't argue with that. I thought Hastings would be a really strong candidate. I just thought Damon would have an outside chance. I'll bet he was runner-up, because you go from ninth place to fourth place and get yourself home ice in the playoffs, that's pretty darn good.
Yeah, I think he's definitely deserving. Like I said, you know, it was great, and you know, a lot of fun going to work with him every day. And he put in the work to definitely deserve it. And you know, I know if I would have had a vote, I would have voted for him. So, you know, but like you said, you know, Mankato did a great job this year, and you know, they lost one game at home, you know, which was to us, you know, but you know, they had a great season. You know, they had a lot of wins, and I think they probably set some records down there too as far as wins.
You know, I think the thing that's most frightening about the Minnesota State team is they only lose that one player who was Student Athlete of the Year, Max Cota. He's the only senior who plays regularly for them. They got a couple of others who are seniors who won't be back, but they don't play that much. That entire team's coming back, and they'll be good again next year. They're not going to get any worse.
Yeah, they've been a top team in this league for a while now, and you know, you just kind of, you know, you want to get where they're at, you know, type of thing. It's you know, we want our players you know, coming in, you know, they're the guys, I guess, to the left. You know, we put a good foundation in, you know, for the guys that are returning and the guys that are coming in. You know, we have high expectations now.
Got a few questions from the fans who are with us here tonight, as usual, at the Antlers. And this has been a great turnout most of this season. We've had as many as 40 a couple of different times. We got about, 25 with us tonight here in the building. And we've got some questions there. Mike York, the assistant coach of the Lakers, is here with us tonight. Again, Damon Whitten is ill. He is not able to make this final show of the season. One of the questions we have, Mike, is what happens now in the off season? What do the players do here this spring, and what does the coaching staff concentrate on?
You know, we haven't, obviously we'd still like to be playing, so we really haven't put much of a plan in right now, but I think typically we're going to give the guys a few days off as far as, you know, away from the rink, just to settle things down and get their academics in order. You know, probably meet as a team either tomorrow or Thursday and just kind of go over some of their workout off ice workouts and stuff. But usually we'll give them, you know, at least a couple weeks off. You know, they'll have the option of going on the ice if they want to, you know, go on the ice and do whatever. I'm not sure if we'll practice or anything like that, but yeah, it's kind of wrapping things up with meetings and expectations for you know, this upcoming spring, summer, and then going into next year. And then after that, you know, once the school, you know, school's out, they kind of all head back home and then get their personal trainers and stuff like that. But it's, you know, like I said earlier, you know, it's tough because you want to keep playing, and this is a year you didn't want to end. So we didn't really have a plan in place. We thought we would still be playing. So, you know, once the staff gets back healthy, I'm sure we'll come up with a plan real quick with the guys and you know, go from there.
Following an emotional and eventful season on and off the ice, and I think what we're referring to here is a couple of our players lost parents this past season, Max Humitz and Brennan McKay both lost parents during the year. That's really tough to overcome that. The team had an additional day off out in Minnesota State before he came home on Monday. What kind of things did you do to stay busy there?
We let the guys have the day to themselves. We gave them some per diem and, you know, just let them enjoy it and get, you know, reflect on the season by themselves. You know, they didn't need any coaches around or any, you know, any scheduling. You know, it's tough when you have a season like that. You just want to give them a little bit of space and let them reflect, you know, on the good and mostly good times that they had on and off the ice.
Yeah, and this was a good season too. You know, let's go back to this series this past weekend. I thought a lot of guys played really well in that series. We talked about Nick, how good he was. He was outstanding in both those games. I wouldn't fault him on any goals that were scored. He only allowed 4 in 2 games. That's 2 a game. That's a pretty good average. Problem is Dryden McKay was only allowing 1 goal in 2 games, and their defense smothers you. They grab hold of you when you – when you're in the zone on a power play, for instance, they're very physical. They just tie people up. They don't let you get anywhere near the net. I thought they interfered a lot, to tell you the truth, but, you know, it wasn't getting called. So they did a good job. They just grabbed people and hauled them down, and we did have chances. I mean, I can still see Gelsinger shooting it over the net on the one opportunity, and Hampus just missed tying it up on Friday night. So it's not like we weren't in those two games, but I thought a lot of our guys played really well in those two games.
They did. They did. I think it was Friday night, too. I think we hit the posts within 10 seconds or 5 seconds. You know, I think Gage hit it and Will hit it right after that. You know, so those are the ones you wish would bounce the other way and go in. But like you said, it was a positive performance by anybody. You look back in the series and, you know, you can't say, well, if this guy would have played better, we would have had a different result, or that guy would have played better. I thought we gave 100% out on the ice and, like I said, laid it all on the line. And, sometimes it's just not enough, and we didn't get the result we wanted.
Yeah, one of the guys who really stood out, and I was not surprised to see this. I'm looking at players of the week this past week. It was Max Johnson, the sophomore forward for Bowling Green, was the offensive player of this past week, or the forward of the week. And Diego Cuglietta was an honorable mention there. He had our only goal on the weekend and played really well. He was always around the net trying to make things happen. But Johnson had 4 points, 2 goals, 2 assists, 6-1 and 2-1 wins at Northern Michigan, which is not easy. Alex Rohauser from Bowling Green was the defenseman of the week. He had 3 points in that sweep of Northern Michigan. He had 8 shots on goal and 4 blocked shots. But Tyler Anderson, I thought he was really good for us on the weekend. He was the Lake Superior State nominee for defenseman of the week. He had 4 shots on goal in the two games, 3 blocked shots. He was a +1 on the weekend. I thought he shows great promise. He's going to be a good player next year.
I think so too. You know, he had a little bit of up and down year this year, but I think, you know, he stuck with it. He practiced hard, and I thought Alex Mendel went in and did a good job, you know, when Andy wasn't going. But I think, if he has a real good summer and comes back, I think he's got a cannon of a shot. You know, he's the type of guy that, hopefully we can get on the power play and let him, get some one-timers off. And, he had a great stats in junior. So I think that's, there's a positive there with him for sure.
Dryden McKay, the goaltender from Minnesota State, he was the goalie of the week. Fifth time this season a kid's been goaltender of the week. He stopped 51 of 52 shots the Lakers threw his way. 1.65 goals against average, .932 save percentage, and he was outstanding. And Nick Kossoff was the runner-up there in the goalie balloting this past week. And Julian Napravnik, who had a goal against us on Saturday night on that power play on the five-minute penalty, he was the rookie of the week. He finished with just that one goal, but it was a game winner. And then Jacob Nordquist was our nominee there. He was a runner-up. He had the 6 blocked shots in those two games. There's another young guy, just a freshman, not the biggest kid in the world, but he's a gamer, and he's very, very smart, and he's going to be a great Laker here in the future.
Yeah, his brain is really off the charts. You know, his skating's been, just improving every week too. Not that we were worried about it coming in, but, he's a guy that, at times it looks like he's going to beat, and then he just, he recovers so well because, he's got good feet and his brain's really there. So, like I said, at the beginning of the, we're excited about going into next year, with those guys coming back, and, they gave us a lot of good minutes this year. And, again, they're going to have another great opportunity next year.
Yeah, we're going to look to the future here in just a few minutes when we get into the second half of our program here. But I was kind of surprised. Loggins, Offensive Player of the Week. Where's Diego Cuglietta there? He had more points than Loggins. He had led the nation in goal scoring and certainly led this team. You know, that's going to be the biggest thing to me for next year, trying to replace that kid's heart. Not so much his goal scoring. I mean, 25 goals is a lot. Somebody could step up and get that done, but just to replace his ticker. That guy's got a motor on him that's incredible. He knows where to go when he's on the ice, and he had a tremendous 4 years for us here, not just 1 year.
Yeah, he's that's why he wears the C too. You know, he was a great leader in the room. He was one of the guys that's definitely a vocal leader. You know, Gator, same thing, a huge heart. You know, not as vocal as Diego, but played an unbelievable 200-foot game. They both did. You know, and blocking shots. They led the right way, and that's, you couldn't ask anything better out of your captains. And you always wondered who's going to step up, but we got guys that are capable of it, and hopefully they do.
Well, there'll be guys who are going to step up. Max Humitz is coming back to this team, and Gelsinger is a good player coming back to this team. Ashton Calder showed as he moved along through his first year that he's going to be a real force on this team. And we got a lot of young guys who, I thought Brendan McKay stepped up his game. He doubled up his ability this past year, and he was really effective, and he'll be back next season. So it'll be interesting, and we're going to talk about some of the new players who are going to be coming in too. But Mike York and I are going to take a break from the show. We'll be back at the Antlers right after this on ESPN 1400. All righty, we are back for the third segment of our show tonight, live from the Antlers. And, of course, the team stayed out in Mankato till you didn't come back, flew back, right, Monday night?
Yeah, we got back last night about around midnight, 12:30.
And how'd that go? Did that come off without a hitch? Because there were a lot of hitches going out there.
So. There was, yeah. You know, our original plan was to leave out of Sioux, Michigan here on Thursday morning. I got a text Wednesday night that the flight was canceled, so we scrambled, looked for other flights, couldn't do it. So we ended up leaving about 5:30 in the morning on Thursday morning, busing to Green Bay, switching buses, and then going the rest of the way to Mankato. And we were able to keep the fly back, but it wasn't until 8:30 last night, so we had some time to kill. But you guys were able to go up to the Mall of America yesterday and spend about 5 hours there.
Yeah, which is good as long as nobody got lost and didn't make it on the flight to come back.
Yeah, but we got everyone on the way back. So.
Yeah, and everybody made it back, and some of the people got a little bit ill, including Damon Witten, so he's missing tonight. But we'll move on with all this stuff here. We've got a lot of questions about the future of this team and a lot of the players who will be coming in, and Damon and I have run over these players a few times already this season, but Mike, we'll get your viewpoint on some of these people because we really haven't talked to you about them. But next season, right now, we have three defensemen who are possibles. In fact, four defensemen who are possibles to come in. And we may be able to keep one or two of them even in junior. A lot will depend on whether Colin Sackleman decides he wants to be a pro next year and doesn't come back for that last year, or heaven forbid, Lucas Kiebel or somebody like that. But at this point, we've got Arvid Henriksson coming in next year, another Swedish player. So we're going to add a fourth Swede to our lineup next season. Mitch Oliver, who's already with us and who has shown in practice that he can play at this level, and he's going to be a regular player for Lake Superior, and no doubt about it, next year. And then we've got Mike Manera and Chase Pulaski, a couple of kids who could go back and play junior next year. They're 19 right now. Both of them are pretty good. They're not real big guys, especially Manera, but they can wheel and they can move the puck. One of them's playing in Green Bay. I think Manera's playing out in New Jersey right now. But one way or the other, maybe he's in the Canada Central League or something.
He's playing in Trenton.
Ontario. He's in Trenton, yeah okay.
Ontario, so Ontario League, though.
The Ontario Trenton. Junior. Yeah. Okay, so those guys are all possibilities. How does that look? What are these kids like? Tell us a little bit about Henriksson and Manera and Pulaski.
Well, Arvid Henriksson, he's a big body. You know, he's a Montreal Canadiens draft pick, so he's got a lot of potential. You know, he's more of a stay-at-home defenseman. He's I got a really good stick. You know, he's pretty physical guy. It is not going to score tons of goals. You know, he has the potential to do that, but I think bringing him in, we're expecting him to be more a penalty kill type defenseman, stay at home type defenseman. Other than that, he's back in Sweden right now. We're just kind of waiting on some of his grades and stuff like that to get through. So he'll be a big.
Yeah, he's the young guy who had to quit playing junior or else he was going to burn a year of eligibility because he was turning 21.
It was a real unique situation. And, at the end of the day, talking with him and his junior team, the best thing was just, stop playing at the end of February and, just focus on the summer and coming in.
Okay, how about Mike Manera and Chase Pulaski? They're kind of they're not real big guys, either one of them. I think Chase is about 5'11". I think Mike Manera is about 5'9", but he can really wheel, so they're interesting.
They both got really good feet. They're kind of the flip side of Arvid. They're got a little more offensive jump to them, a little more offensive pop, I guess you could say. Good feet. Two players that potentially could go back to junior for another year, but obviously we'll talk to them and see where we're at with it here in a couple weeks or when the playoffs are over.
What happens when you have one of these young guys like that who could go back and play junior, but he says to you, "No, I don't want to do that. I want to come and play. I want to come to Lake Superior right now." Well, how do you guys handle that? Do you just try to work with them on it?
Yeah, I think we work with them. And obviously, we with the season just ending, we kind of don't know on some players, so. See where we're at. You don't want guys coming in that where you got 12 D-men and guys aren't playing. You want to recruit guys and bring them in so that they're playing. Play up to their potential that they can do. And there's nothing wrong with going back to develop another year in junior as well.
No, and they're 19 years old, so they could easily do that. With Mitch Oliver, it's a different situation. He did come in this year, but he was ineligible. He didn't get through the clearinghouse. A little bit of a grades issue there or something, but I've talked to him enough times to know this is a good potential Laker right here, and watch him in practice. He can play. He can skate. He can move the puck. He's got a big time shot. I think he could be a really good player.
I think he will be. I think he's he's a hockey player. You know, you can just see it in him that he it was obviously a long, tough year for him, not be able to get in the games, but I think he did a tremendous job off the ice. He did a great job in the classroom. You know, classroom and in the weight room. You know, so I think it's he's going to be an exciting player for us next year, and we're glad we got him. And unfortunately, he couldn't help us this year, but he's definitely going to help us next year.
Well, the good thing is he stuck it out this year. He did nothing but practice and go to school and get his grades up to where he'll always be eligible, and he did a good job at that. So, you know, more power to him. When you can do something like that, it means you got a goal in mind, and his goal is to play 3 years as a defenseman at Lake Superior State.
Yeah, and get a to get a degree as well. You know, I think when I was talking with him, last year, trying to get him eligible and whatnot, and we finally got the word that he wasn't. And I just talked to him, said, listen, it goes by fast. Before you know it, the season's going to be over, and now here we are. We're sitting here, the season's over. He's got about a month and a half left of school, and he'll have a year under his belt. So, and now he's ready to go. He's eligible just like everybody else.
Yeah, he can do everything this spring that everybody else can, and he'll be on the ice next fall. And I think all of us as Laker fans, we're looking forward to seeing Mitch Oliver play some hockey at Lake Superior State. We got three forwards who are coming in next year, and that's in addition to the players who will be back. And we're going to have quite a number of forwards if everybody comes back as planned. We got Roberts Bluger. And it is Roberts, not Robert Bluger. He's a Latvian player, so we're going to have two Latvians in the lineup now. We've got already our goaltender, Amerik's Mittens, and we're going to add Bluger to that lineup. And we've got Dustin Manns, who's out of Vanderbilt, Michigan, just down below the bridge, having a heck of a year out in the BC League. He's scoring up a storm. He's a really good player. And then Nico Esposito-Selivanov. He's got Russian in him. He's got Canadian Sioux in him. He's related to Phil Esposito. He's his grandson. And he's doing really well right now in the playoffs out in the BC League. He's a little water bug who flies around and scores goals.
Yeah, we're excited about all three of those guys. Obviously, Dustin Manns. I think he finished fourth in the BCHL scoring this year, third or fourth. His team's up 3-0 right now in the second round of the playoffs, so they're doing well. He's having a good playoffs as well. You know, he's a kid that does well in faceoffs. He's assistant captain of his team. You know, he's been around and worked hockey camps, so he's obviously familiar with the area. So he's going to be a great addition to our team. He's a big thick kid. Again, plays the right way. Plays 200 feet. Nico too, Esposito. He's a kid that's got a lot of jam to him. He plays hard. Great shot. You know, he's done well out in the BCHL as well. And then Robert Bluger. He's it goes by both. We had a big conversation about that. So he's been over in the States for a long time though.
Is he still in Fairbanks? Is that where he's playing or what?
He's in Madison right now.
Madison.
In
USHL. So he's in the USHL.
He's in the USHL.
Good.
So,
good.
It was a tough year for his team, but I thought he did, watching him, more throughout the year, I think he really developed a lot. And then we got Louis Badon too. He's coming in as well.
Right.
So
French.
Yeah.
Now we're adding a kid out of France.
Yeah. So he's done a great job in the North American Hockey League this year, and I think he's the type of kid where any NHL teams are talking about bringing him development camps. So we're excited about him as well.
I think it's going to be a very interesting next fall. We're losing a lot. Let's face it. When you lose Diego Cuglietta and 25 goals, and Anthony Nellis, and Gage Terrell, and Nick Kossoff and Steven Ruggiero. We haven't even really mentioned Steven yet, and he's going to sign a contract here with Anaheim in the very – probably if he didn't sign it today, he'll probably sign tomorrow, but he's going to be playing some pro hockey as well. That's a lot to lose, but I'm kind of excited to see some of these young guys come in. And, tribute to you guys, the coaching staff, the freshmen this year were really good players.
Yeah.
And the freshmen next year – why wouldn't they be really good players? You've done a good job.
Right. I think that's, kind of going back, like I said, the seniors this year kind of, laid a foundation or blueprint, whatever you want to call it, is what our expectations are. And I think everyone else kind of followed. And, now we have an expectation of where, we're going into games this past year and, the following year, we're expecting to win. We're expecting to do well. That's going to, be your atmosphere. The guys are going to have a positive atmosphere and expect to win games.
You know, I'm not sure who the new goaltender is. I mean, I know who he is. I'm not sure how you say his name. It's Isele. Seth. It's either Isley or Isel.
Isel, I believe.
All right. He's playing in Lone Star. That's North American League.
North American League, yep.
And he's a big, tall kid. He's like 6'5". So you're kind of replacing Nick Kossoff here with a guy who is built like him, at least.
Yeah, I think we definitely watched quite a few goalies this year. Obviously, knowing that you're losing a senior goalie, and I don't know much about goalies, so a lot of it was from Zach, and you know he's high on him. He has high potential. You know, he's gonna he's come in with an opportunity to compete for a job.
Yeah, and he's gonna. It's going to be interesting because Merrick's will have the inside track. He's got more experience, but I'm interested to see Bengert. I think Roman Bengert looks really good in practices, and he's a great kid, and he's a good student. He's going to be he'll compete, and it's going to be interesting next year. And then you got a young guy that you can, you know, play him once in a while if you want to, or see how he develops. See what, and he'll learn from the other two guys.
For sure, for sure,
and from Zach Seizek.
Yes, that's a huge thing. You always have that. You know, one of your assistants is a goalie background. I mean, Damon always says he has a goalie background too, but not as probably as much as Zach. You know, it's advantage because he can talk to him every single day. You know, not only about just hockey stuff, but goalie stuff, and obviously he's available for goalie sessions and stuff. So I think it's a huge advantage for us.
Now, is that it at this point that we just named with Louis Bidone and Seth Isel? Those are our last two, and that's probably the puzzle at this point. Unless somebody leaves, we don't expect. We scramble around. We probably have other players we could talk to, and of course we have both Pulaski and Manera. We
yeah.
can take one or both, or
yeah. I think that's the plan.
Yeah.
So,
well, that sounds good. I think it's a good plan, and I think it shows that the future is pretty solid if these guys can play, and I think they can. We mentioned earlier the guys who are coming back up front. You got Miro Muka, who I still think is going to be a good Laker hockey player. Ian Johnson, who competes hard all the time, and he can score goals. Owen Guy, this guy can play. You can't tell me Owen Guy can't play. And Alex Ambrosio, they can all play.
Yeah. It's always, you know, it's a positive having, you know, those guys that are competing for spots, you know. And I know each guy, they, you know, especially the freshmen, you know, sometimes it's a big jump coming in from junior to college, and kind of not knowing what to expect, but now they do, and now they, you know, have another summer to prepare for it.
Well, we're going to talk about some defensemen and the rest of the guys who are returning next year, among other things, when we return. We've got one more segment tonight on our final Laker hockey show of the 2018-19 season, and we'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back for our final segment of the final show of 2018-19. And, you know, it doesn't take long. We come in here in October. We generally start this show late September, early October, because we play in early October. And we like to have a show before we play a game, try to build some interest. And it seems like we just started. This is like the hockey season. It just flies by. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's flying by when it's going week to week. But when you look back at it, when it's over, you wonder where it went.
It is, you know, and like I said before, this is the type of season you didn't want to end. And I know for the coaches, we're going to want to get back on the ice next week, but unfortunately, we're not going to be able to.
Yeah, the ice is coming out. Commencement's coming up, and the ice is coming out. It won't be on for very much longer here. That's traditional. We got a lot of things going on here. We were talking about players. We got into the forward crew that's coming back that did not play a whole lot this past season. I think all of them can play. There's no doubt about that. But we're going to get some other guys back where they play all the time, and they're going to definitely play all the time next season. You got Brendan McKay, Max Humitz. You got Braden Gelsinger. I thought Hampus Erickson was really good in the second half of the season this year. He's back. Melvin Carlson, Pete Violette, Brian Basilico, Chase Gamblin. You got Yuki Miura. He came on pretty well at the end, too. And Ashton Calder, who's a strong candidate this year for Rookie of the Year in the league. He didn't win it, but he certainly played well for the Lakers this season. And there's some definite ability there and some guys who are going to be a year older and a year better next season.
Definitely. I think, you know, all those guys that you named, you know, contributed one way or another throughout the year. I think we, you know, with Brendan McKay and Chase and Brian Basilico, you know, they, you know, throughout stretches of the year, you know, they had a lot of big games for us and contributed offensively. You know, you'd like to, You want them to kind of be a shutdown line, but you know, anytime they can get some offensive numbers out of them, it's great. And they did a great job this year, I think. You know, Gels and Hummer, you know, had great seasons offensively, and they're going to be leaders for us next year. With Ashton, you know, we kind of put him on that line with the senior and a junior. I think he really took advantage of it and played well and gained some confidence. And then you kind of had you know, the Hampus, Melvin, and Pete line. It's a young line, but they went down that one night when we won 1-0 to Mankato. They had the goal, so you know they did a great job, and they're only going to get better.
Yeah, they're definitely proven players at this level, and you can still see Hampus when he scored in the GLI, big goal there as the Lakers got the two victories and won that tournament for the first time in the four times they've played in it. Also back next season, well, we're wondering if some of these guys are back or not, starting with Colin Sackleman. He'll certainly wear a C on his jersey if he is back as a Laker next season, but there's probably a really good chance he's going to sign and turn pro. You got Lucas Kybel, you got Jacob Nordquist, Will Rydell, who had a good solid season this year. Tyler Anderson got better as the season went on and was playing really well. He was just great at Minnesota State this past weekend. And then you add in Bennett Vita and Mitch Oliver, and you got lots of D there, and you're going to bring in a few guys too, so it'll be very competitive next year in the fall.
Alex Mendel too, and then, you know,
that's like right.
He's it's a competitive D core for sure. You know, it's always a good situation to have where you guys and really, to be honest, a healthy situation where you got guys competing for a job. You know, it gives you an opportunity for guys to fight for jobs in practice and compete in practice, and that's what you always want. You know, you don't want just guys assuming they're in the lineup. Obviously, some guys might have a little more money in the bank than others, but you know, it's a good position that we're going to be in.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really strong. We already mentioned the goaltending, but it'll be Merrick Smittens along with Roman Bengerts, and then the freshman Seth Eisel coming in out of the North American Hockey League, and that'll be a competitive situation as well.
Yeah, it will. It will, obviously. I think, you know, I know Roman Merrick's, you know, real well as far as their practice. They you know, they practiced their butts off. You know, they worked hard in practice, and, you know, obviously, you know, Kazi just kind of took the job, you know, and ran with it and did a great job for us. But we felt really comfortable with putting Merrick's in, and obviously we were comfortable with Roman as well.
Yeah, you remember Nick Kossoff, his first couple of years here at Lake Superior, he had trouble playing. I mean, he couldn't take the net away from Gordy Dayfield, and then when he got his chance, Nick has done a great job. I thought he was outstanding this year, and you know, he's really a good guy. He's a great kid. He's a good student. He's almost a 4 point, and he majors in kinesiology, which is not a real easy major to try to get through at Lake Superior State. And I just thought all the way around, Nick Kossoff was outstanding this year, as much as a human being as a goaltender.
Yeah, he does. Like you said, he's a 4 point student and a tough major. I think, you know, on the ice, I think it helped probably a lot with having Zach around and being able to talk to him on a daily basis. You know, I think a lot of the I'm going to go back to, I don't know much about goalies, but I do know it's a pretty tough mental position. So I think being able to talk to a guy on a daily basis to see what's going on, and again, it helps when you're winning games, and that builds your confidence up as well.
Now, Mike York played a lot of pro hockey in his days. You played in the National Hockey League. You played in Europe for a long time. You know, they even came over and did a documentary thing with you late this season where you had a German film crew come in and sit down with you in the dressing room and do some stuff for your former team over in Germany. They were doing a tribute there, and man, it came all the way from Germany. I said, Mike must have been a heck of a player for them if they're willing to come all the way over here and come to Sault Ste. Marie and do a film segment with you. But I thought that was pretty good.
It was, and you know, I think when they walked in, their eyes were pretty wide. They couldn't believe how much snow was here, and I don't know if they really packed I don't know what they thought they were going to expect, but I don't think they packed for the cold weather or the snow. But no, it was good to see them, and it was awesome to, you know, have them around.
Now, you've just finished up your second year as a head coach or an assistant coach here at Lake Superior State, and you know, Johnny came up, John Forrest, and said, "We got to ask Mike about what he's seen since he's been here and how you like it here." It's not the easiest place to be. Sault Ste. Marie can be a tough place if you're not from here, but you've settled in now. You've been here a while. What's your personal opinion, not only on this team and on how things have grown and how you've grown as a coach? That would be important for me to know right now.
I think, you're always constantly trying to learn and grow. I think, definitely for me as a coach, being I guess more comfortable around the players. You know, your first year, it's 28 new guys. You know, you're getting to know their names, their personality, and stuff like that. And you know, hockey's a tight knit group, so it's it happens fast, but at the same time, you're still trying to get to know the guys' personalities. And I felt like this year, I was definitely more comfortable around them, and I think they were more comfortable around me and knowing my personality and how I am and how I coach. And you know, the seniors, I felt like I was with them for 4 years. I was only with them for two, but you know, slowly getting to, you know, it was you know, losing that game on Saturday, it was probably, from what I remember as a playing, or even, you know, the couple of years I was coaching, is probably the most emotional I've ever been. Like, it was just, you know, it was sad for them to see it end, but at the same time excited for them to move on for the next chapter of their lives. So it's it was, and having a successful season, I think, helps as well.
Yeah, it was a good season. There's no doubt about it. It had way more highs than it did lows. And, you know, I felt that same way after we were done on Saturday night, and Damon came up, and as he always does, and did a good post game with us. And he just said, you know, and the only complaining he did about the 5-minute major call in that first period was, you know, why would you call that and really take it away from these guys? Because Minnesota State's too good. You can't give them a 5-minute power play. They're going to get at least one goal, if not two, and they scored two, and that was the hockey game, as it turned out. But, you know, the penalty, when you look at the replay, it was a high stick. So, you know, the referee, you can't really argue with him, and yet, big game like that, that's awfully tough, and the Lakers are done. And it was a stinger for Lake Superior State.
It was, you know, the guys were emotional in the room, as they should have been, and you know, shows that they cared a lot about this program, and you know, put their whole heart into it. And you know, my message to them was, you know, it's going to sting for a little bit, but you know, like I said, you they're all going to be pros. They're all great players. They're going to move on, and they're going to have some time to reflect on all the accomplishments that they did this year.
All right, we're talking to Mike York tonight. He's in the place of the ill Damon Whitten on our last hockey show of the season. You know, Damon mentioned at the Laker Hockey Talk last week, and I don't know how many people heard that, because we have a lot of trouble getting that show on at the proper time. I think it was on Friday morning rather than Thursday. But I thought he made a really good point when he was talking about, he missed the goal that Colin Sackleman scored on the Saturday night, the empty net goal that went down the ice. He said, I never saw it because Zach and I were trying to figure out who was going to go out here next if we didn't win this face-off. We needed to switch some guys. And it dawned on me how tough coaching can be. And you know, you're in your second year, so you got to be learning a lot of stuff here too. How chaotic it can be on that bench sometimes, especially when you're coming down to the end, one-goal game, and you're all trying to figure out and keep your cool and keep the guys cool. And
it's believe me, you know, our adrenaline's pumping just like the players, maybe not as much because we're not on the ice involved, but you know, you still feel like you're impacting the game, and you know, you want to get things right. So it's for me, you know, being down at the DN, it's a little bit easier, only having six of them, but you know, up front you got double that amount. So you know, at times it can get a little bit hectic, but I think as a coaching staff, that was one thing we did really well this year, is keeping our emotions in check, and our players did a great job, whether we were down a goal or up a goal, and you know, just kind of keeping an even keel.
Yeah, and you're working with defensemen. You weren't a defenseman when you played, so that's got to be interesting. And what's the biggest thing about that, trying to keep straight? You're looking at pairings, and when you're at home, it's probably easier than on the road because you can make a last change, but
yeah, it's you know, I think we switched pairings a little bit this year. I think we started with Ruggiero and Salkman at the beginning of the year, and they ended up, you know, being together at the end of the year. And there's a little bit of flip flopping in there. I guess it's you know, sometimes you might get a little complacent with your partner, so that's why we switch them up a little bit, I guess. But you know, I think, you know, everyone did a good job of playing with everybody this year.
Yeah, it was a good season. I think all the fans who are here and those listening would agree that this was a banner season for Lake Superior State. It was exciting. We had great crowds there in the playoffs at home. And just to have a home ice playoff series was a big deal for Lake Superior State after many, many years of either missing the playoffs or being on the road. So that's pretty much all the time we've got tonight. Mike, good job filling in. You did a great job this season, and we look forward to next year. And, you know, Lakers being a good team again next season.
Thanks. Looking forward to it.
Mike York joining us here tonight. That's our final show. Matt Pocket, engineering here. Cade DeSarmo back at the station. Bill Crawford, so long until next October on the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.